Begin the current daf mesech. This even daf pei gimel. We begin on the bottom line of pei beis and mebeis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the Mishnah, which was on the previous daf, and that is we had the Mishnah that spoke about what was the shear of the Eiv Tchumen. And we had a machloikis in the Mishnah, but basically what they were both saying were that it has to be 2 meals worth, that is, you have to have your Suda Shabbos, which you have to have the 2 meals that you have to have on Shabbos, and that is the shear of the Erev Truman. And then the Mishnah continued, which is where our Gemara begins and quotes, that there are shiurim related to these shiurim, so that is Erev Truman is 2 meals worth in this one kikar. Then chetzi lebeis menuga, half of that loaf of bread, which was used for the Erev Truman, which had 2 meals worth in that one loaf of bread. Half of that, which is called pras, which means a broken piece, is what's used for the beis hamenugah. And that is when a person goes into a house that's afflicted with tsaras, he becomes tummy right away. But his clothing that he's wearing only becomes tummy if he waits the amount of time that it would take to eat a half of a loaf of bread, which is what 1 meal's worth. V'chatzi chetzia, and half of that half, which is a quarter of the loaf that we're using for Erev Truman, which is half of the pras, which is called, common terminology is called chatzi pras, half, a quarter of the original thing, which is chatzi, is livsula esagvia, which is how much invalidates a person when he eats things that are machalim, food items that are tameh, he becomes tameh, midrabanan, from eating truma. That is going to be based on the shear of the original kikar, the loaf of bread that we used. Again, half of that being used for the measurement of when the person goes into a house with a nega, that's how long it takes for him to eat that one suda's meal's worth, which is, again, half of the loaf of bread, which is called pras, and a quarter of that, which is of the total, which is half of the one of beis hamenugah, which would be the amount to invalidate the person when he eats a machol tameh. That is what our Mishnah said. Now we continue with the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes from a Braisa. Again, along the same lines, again, we're talking about a Ruf Tchumen, that's 2 meals worth in this one loaf of bread. Half of that, which is half a loaf, which is 1 meal's worth, is the amount of how long it takes for the begadim, however long it takes to eat that, which is called the shear of Kedei Achilas Pras. That's eating half of the loaf, which is 1 meal's worth. That's how long it would take for his clothing to become tamei walking into house with a nega. And half of that, which would be a quarter of the loaf, which would be how long it takes to invalidate that amount of food that's eaten, would invalidate the person if he eats the machalim tameim from eating machalim tahayim. Now the Gemara quotes a braisa, takes it one step further. Tana, we learn the braisa. The chatzi chatzi chetzio. And half of the half of the half, which is an eighth of the total of the loaf of bread that we're using for Erev Truman, which is 2 meals worth, is latame tumas eichon. That's the measurement to make that foods could have the capacity of getting and conveying tumas eichon, which is the shear, what we commonly refer to as kebeya. That is an eighth of the total of the amount of this loaf of bread, which Rashi explains is based on the different versions we had on the previous stuff explaining that. And that is according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka. It's according to his opinion that he says that it comes out to a 3/4 of a beya. It's not, as we say, kebeya. According to Rabbi Yochanan Reka, the shear of conveying tumas eichel will be 3/4 of a beya, which is because, as we had explained in the previous daf, he said that the loaf of bread that we're referring to by Erev Truman was a quarter of a kav, because although the Mishnah speaks about a half a kav, as we had explained in the previous daf, that he gives half the profits have to go to the storekeeper, which takes the half a kav and really makes it into a quarter of a kav. So it comes out that the kikar b'punyin that we had mentioned regarding Erev Truman was really a quarter of a kav, which is 6 beitzim, which is 6 eggs. Half of that is 3 eggs, which, as we had said, half of that goes for the beis hamenugah. And half of that half is going to be an egg and a half, which would be to invalidate the person. That's regarding the halachas of the psul of the gevia. And then regarding the halacha that we're talking about over here, of tumas eichlin, will be 3/4 of an egg. That's based on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Berek. And the coin tribe Shimon, that he had said that the shear of the kikar that we were speaking about regarding Erev Truman is 3 kavs. It's going to be 3 loaves for a kav, which basically means each loaf is a third of a kav. So therefore, a full loaf is 8 eggs. Half of that is going to be 4. Half of that half is going to be 2. And half of that half of that half, which is what we're talking about regarding the shear of tumas eichlin, is going to be a beya. So again, we have this machloikis regarding what exactly is the shear. But either way, the Brice is saying that if you take it one step further, again, starting with Erev Truman, going half of that regarding the halachas of going to the beis hamenukah, half of that regarding the psul of gevia, and half of that, that's the capacity of conveying tumas eichlin, that will be, again, either 3/4 of a beya based on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Bereka, again, halving as you go along, or a beya as is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara asks, "V'tana didan my time alay tani? Why didn't our Tana of our Mishnah say what the Braisa says?" Again, we're all going along. Why didn't they mention Tumas Oichlin? Because it's continuing with all the different shiurim. Our Mishnah was only talking about Tchumim, because that's the topic we're talking about, but we continued on and saying, well, half of that is that, half of that is that. Why didn't they take it to the next level and say that half of that, the last one that we said, is going to be the shiur of Tumas Oichlin? Now the Gemara says, Mishum de loy shavu shiurai lahadadi. Because it's not going to be exactly, and that is, the shiur of Tumas Oichlin will not be exactly half of the shiur of invalidating the person that ate impure, that ate Tumas Oichlin, that his body becomes puzzled from eating Truma. It's not going to be exactly. Rather, some are going to say a little bit more, some are going to say a little bit less, and because of that, since not exactly half, we didn't want to say that half of that will be half, because, again, all the other things up until now were exactly half, but this is not exact, and therefore we didn't want to mention. As the Gemara brings a Rai to describe how we see that really Tumas Oichlin is not exactly half of the Psul of the Gvir. The Tanlik within the Braisa. Kama Shir Chatzi Pras. What is the shear of the half of a pras, which that was the last one that our Mishnah had spoken about, which was regarding invalidating the person that ate Tumas Oichlin from eating Truma. On that, the Braisa says two opinions, three opinions, but really it starts up with two. Beis Beitzim Chaser Kima, that is two eggs minus a little bit. And that is because really all the opinions in this Braisa are going like Rib Shimon. As we had just previously mentioned, the Machlokes between Rib Shimon, Rib Yechon, and Ben Breika, according to Rib Shimon, the way it comes out from the Cheshbon that we just said before in the Mishnah, it comes out to be two eggs. And therefore, although he says it has to be two eggs minus a little bit, is because he's talking about smaller eggs. And therefore, he says that if you want to know the real measurement, it's going to be two eggs minus a little bit. That's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yisaimer, Beis Beitzim Seichikais. Again, they're both agreeing to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which we had gone through, saying that the kikar that we're talking about, Erev Truman, is 8, and minus that is 4, and minus that is 2. But the first opinion says that it's really a little bit less, and the opinion of Rabbi Yezi says it's a little bit more. In other words, he's being makel regarding, because as we had mentioned, that the din of psul of gviya, becoming invalid of eating truma, when you eat impure items, you don't become tamei medaraisa when you're eating tumas oichlin. It's only a drabanan because of the we don't want the truma to become puzzle. Therefore, we say that psul of gviya. So he's makely says that it's too loose, which means it's a term of larger eggs. That's a more lenient opinion. It has to be that large to make a person invalid. So basically both of them saying in the opinion of Rib Shimon that the shear of Psul Gviya is two eggs. Now, the Braisa continues saying, Shear Rebbe. Rebbe was assessing, he was measuring. And that is, and this is based on an important mnemonic to remember, which is called Askelav Gudu. It's going to come up many times in this Gemara, and on Amad Av and Amad Beis. Basically what it means, if you line up Askelav, Aleph, Samach, Kuf, Lamed, Veiz, on one side, and Gudu, which is Gimel Vav, Dalet Vav, in between, that as if you're making a zigzag in between, that will give you the measurements to remember what we're talking about. That is, the Aleph, the Eifa, is going to be Gimel, which is 3 Sa. The Samach, the Sa, is going to be Vav, that's going to be 6 Kav. The Kuf, the Kav, is going to be Dalet, it's going to be 4 of the Lamed of the Lug. And the Lug, the Lamed, is going to be Vav, is going to be 6 of the bays, of the beitzim, of the eggs. So that's, again, important to remember. Askelav gudu, if you write it down, you remember, if you keep on making zigzags, that's going to show you that the aleph is going to be the gimel of the samach, which means to me that it's the eifa is 3 of the saw, and that's the mnemonic to remember. So what happens is that they brought for Rebbe one saw in front of him, and he found that in regards to the measurement of how many kavin there were inside of it, and that is there's 6 Kavan to every saw, so if you divide that by 6, he found out that it had more than 24 eggs for the kav, which comes out regarding to the saw. It had more than 144 eggs for the saw. And that is, if you make the cheshbon regarding tchumen, that came out that for a kikar, again, we're going in the opinion of Reb Shimon, and that's all the tanoim here in the Braisa are, that the loaf of bread that we say was a third of the kav came out to more than 8 eggs that it's supposed to be, as we had mentioned before. And half of that came out to more than 4. And half of that half, which is what we're discussing over here regarding the psul of gviya, as he was assessing this saw, he saw that it came out to beis beitzim va'oid. That although we had mentioned before that really, al pi the cheshbon, it should come out that the psul of gviya should be 2 eggs, came out to 2 eggs and a little bit more. And kama va'oid, how much more was that? Echad mi esrim bebeya. It came out to 1/20th of an egg. And that is, for every egg, the measurement came out to an egg and another 20th, which is, so regarding what we're discussing here in the Braisa, which is the Shir of Chatzi Pras, which is regarding invalidating a person that eats Macham Tameim, that he becomes Tamei Midraban from eating Truma, which is the Shir of two eggs, that came out to an addition of 1/10 of an egg, and that is because if you take 1/20 times 2, because that's the 2 eggs, each egg had another 20th, that comes out to 1/10. So it comes out that the 2 eggs that it's supposed to be for the Psul of a Gvi of the Chatzi Pras came out not really to 2, but really to 2.1. So again, those are the three different shiurim that we have in this Braisa, based on the opinion of Reb Shimon, what's going to be the shear of the Chatzi Pras of the Psul of a Gvi. Again, either 2 eggs minus a little bit, or a little bit looser, larger 2 eggs, or 2 eggs and a little bit more, which comes out to a total of 2.1 eggs. Now the Gemara concludes to show why our Mishnah did not want to say the next half, which is what the Braisa did mention regarding the eighth of the loaf, which is to the shear of conveying Tumas Eichlin, the Ilugabe Tumas Eichlin Tanya. But whereas we learned regarding the halacha of what's supposedly half of what we just mentioned of the Chatzi Pras, regarding Tumas Eichlin, we learned that Reb Nosson, Reb Deisen, Amru, they both said, regarding this Be'ah that we had mentioned, as we always mention in Gemara's all the time, that the Shir of Tumas Eichlin, conveying Tuma to food items, is a Shir of Kebe'ah, of the size of an egg. So they said, what is the size of an egg? It means Kamoyo v'klipasa. It means the size of the egg with the shell on it. Now, as Rashi explains, therefore we see that the half of the Shir of the Psul of Gevi'ah doesn't, which is the Shir of the Chatzi Pras, does not come out to the Shir of Tumas Eichlin. Because if you would take, let's say, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, so it would have to be a little bit less than the Be'ah and the Klipa, as he had said, that the two eggs, not really two eggs, it's two eggs minus a little bit. Now, therefore, if you're taking the egg, which is half of that, it can't be the egg and the shell. It has to be a little bit less, as he had said before. And if you're taking the opinion of Rabbi Yasi, it wouldn't be enough to be the egg and the shell. It would have to be the egg and the shell that are loose, that are seichikas. It would have to be a little bit more. And if you're going with the opinion of Rabbi, you would have to have not an egg and a shell. You would have to add on the va'oi that he had said, which is more. As he said, each egg is really another 20th. And therefore, according to that opinion of Tumas Eichlin, that doesn't go well with what we had said is half of the Chatzi Pras. And similarly, in the Braises, the Chacham Aymrim, they say differently regarding Tumas Eichlin. They say, Kamaya b'loi klipas. They say, no, when you measure Tumas Eichlin, you don't measure the egg and the shell. You measure the egg without the shell. But as Rashi explains here also, this is going to be smaller than all the shiurim, even half of the shiur of Chatzi Pras of Rabbi Yehuda, who he was the smallest of all the shiurim, that doesn't come out to half of that either. And therefore, that's what the Gemara concludes and says, that's why our Mishnah did not mention the next level of halves, which is regarding Tumas Eichlin of Kebe'ah, because either way, it's not going to be exactly half, and therefore our Mishnah didn't mention it. And that's why, although it does mention that it's starting off with the halacha of Tchumen and half of that for the base of Nuga and half of that for the Psalm of Gvia, did not say half of that for Tumas Eichlin, as we had just mentioned, because although it seems to be half of that, because that's two eggs and that's the Shir of Tumas Eichlin is an egg, it's not going to be exactly according to either opinion of what Tumas Eichlin is, if it's an egg and a shell, or if it's an egg without the shell, either way it's not going to be exact, and that's why the Mishnah didn't mention. Now, the Gemara continues regarding this braisa that we had mentioned, which they were discussing the shear of Chatzi Pras, again, that we had brought in regarding this question of Tumas Eichlin, and we brought in to show what was the shear of Chatzi Pras. So the Gemara says and comments, Amar Afim bar Papa, Amar Avchizdam, Zu Divri Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yasi. In other words, this braisa that we just mentioned, that said that the shear of Chatzi Pras is going to be the shear of two eggs. Again, there was a machlokes regarding how do you measure the two eggs. Is it a little bit less than two eggs, a little bit larger, looser two eggs, or it's going to be two eggs and the 20th for every egg, which is 2.1. So, however, either way, that was going according to the opinion of Reb Yehuda Rabbi Yasi, which was based on the opinion of Reb Shimon, as we had mentioned, that's his opinion, as we mentioned in the previous staff. But the Chum say, you want to know the shear of Chatzi Pras, they give a different shear. They give Kibeyu Umechtze Seichikas. That's an egg and a half that are loose. Uman Chacham, who is this Chacham? What opinion is that going like? That is Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereka. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan of our Mishnah that we had explained on the beginning of this daf and on the previous daf, that the loaf of bread that we're talking about is a quarter of a kav. As we said, although it's said in the Mishnah that's a half a kav, you have to give away half of that for the store owner, and therefore essentially you're really only getting a quarter of a kav, which comes out to six eggs. That's the share of the Erev. Half of that for the Beis HaManuga is three. Half of that half is going to be the Chatzi Pras, which is the Be'ah V'Mechtza. It's going to be an egg and a half. That's half of that three. And therefore, although old opinions were loosely around 2 in the previous braisa, because they were going like the opinion of Reb Shimon, which starts off with 8, here we're going like the opinion of Reb Yechim Rek, who starts off with 6, and therefore you end up with 1.5. So the Gemara asks Pshita. This is a pretty obvious conclusion. In other words, because Rav Chisda himself is the one that had said on the previous daf that Tzimehen Mechtzel Chemen, you got to give half of that of the chatzi kav to the store owner, which basically says that you're starting for a loaf of bread of a quarter of a kav. So therefore, if you follow the steps, that's what you come out to, that the shev chatzi pras is going to be a beya mechza, it's going to be an egg and a half. So what's the chiddush that he's saying over here that, yeah, what we just say was the opinion of Reb Shimon, but according to the Chum would be different. We know that. And that the Gemara says, Seichaka is oslash mi'inon. What we wanted to teach you, a leniency regarding the tumas of gvi, as we had mentioned before, that that's only a rabbinic halacha regarding invalidating a person that eats machon tmeim, he doesn't become tamim midrei, it's only midrabanan. Therefore, he wanted to tell you, of course you know that it's an egg and a half, but he wanted to tell you that it's a larger share of an egg and a half, which is a leniency, that if it's anything less than that, then you're not going to become invalid. That was the chiddush that was coming to teach you, but you're right, there was no chiddush in teaching you the egg and a half, because that's a logical conclusion of knowing the two opinions of Reb Shimon and Reb Yechon ben Mareika on the previous stuff. Now the Gemara continues, related to the Braisa that had mentioned this, that Rebbe was Meshai, he was assessing, they brought him a saw, and they found out that it wasn't really exactly 144 eggs in the saw, and it wasn't exactly 24 in the kav, it was a little bit more than that, and he had to add on another 20th of an egg for every egg that it's supposed to be. So now the Gemara brings a related episode. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came, he said, Shigar Bunyas, that was the name of a person. He sent to Rebbe, Mudya de Kundis. He sent him a measurement, a mida, Mudya is from the word mida, a measurement of a kundis, which was the name of this saw, de Minusa, from this place of Nuusa. Now, Vashir Rebbe, Rebbe was assessing, that he was measuring this saw, and he found out that Musan Vesheva Esrin Bay, and it came out to a total of 217 eggs. Now, that's not the way we had been mentioning up until now, that if you go with the whole cheshbon of Askelav Gudu, it comes out that there are usually 144 eggs in this saw, and here it was 217. So the Gemara asks, Hasa Dehecha, what saw was this, from what period, as the Gemara later is going to bring a braisa to show that there were 3 different levels of what there was in regarding measurements. So that which was the when the Jews were in the desert and when they were in Yerushalayim and then finally in Tzipori, that the measurements got larger. So what saw was this, that it's possible that there were 217 eggs in this saw and not what we had accepted up until now, 144. So the Gemara goes through all the different stages trying to understand this. Edimid Baris, if this was in the time, in other words, the measurement of the midbar of the desert types of a saw, which is every saw is 6 kav, as we had explained before with the mnemonic of Askelav Gudu, that a kav is 4 lugin and a lug is 6 eggs. That comes out that you have 24 eggs for every kav, which comes out to 144 eggs to a saw. So then kaf mem dal havya. That comes out that there should be not 217 eggs for the saw, but rather it should be 144. So the Idu Yishalmis, and if it was going at a later period in time, that it was in the Jerusalem saw, as the Gemara later is going to bring from the Braisa, that they had added a sixth on the saw that was in the days of Moshe. Now, this sixth doesn't really mean a sixth the way it means from the what's called Mibachutz, from an external, in other words, from the total, this is a sixth, which really means a fifth of the original measure. So therefore, if you want to find out how much more the Yerushalmi's measurements were from the Midbari measurements, if you break down the 144 and you break it down, you take 100, you take a fifth of 100 is 20. Now, if you take a fifth of 40, that comes out to 8. And if you take the remaining 4, you get an egg minus a fifth, which is 4/5 of an egg. So that's an additional of 29 minus a fifth, which basically means 28 4/5. And you add it on to 144, then the Gemara says that also doesn't work out because Kofayin Gimel Havya. That comes out to a total of 173 eggs. And as Rashi explains, that little bit of a fifth, that really it's 172 4/5, that the Gemara wasn't being precise. So really it's 172 4/5, but they rounded off to 173. Either way, it's not going to be the 217 eggs that was in this saw. What type of saw was this that it's possible to have had 217 eggs in that saw, even though larger Yerushalmi measure was only 173 eggs to the saw. And then it continues to the final phase. V'idi Tzipori, Snif was the saw of Tzipori, which the Gemara again will later explain, that it was added on to the Yerushalmi measurement, a sixth of the total again, which is another fifth. So then Resh Zayin Havin. So that is only 207. Again, not the 217 that was proposed from this sa that was of this kun, this one. And as Rashi explains the Cheshbon, how you get 207, and if you take the 173 of the Yerushalmi, of the Jerusalem measurement, and you take a fifth of that to add on to make it larger for the Tzipori, from 100, again, you have an additional 20. From the 70, you have an additional 14, which the 14 is a fifth of 70. Now, so now you have an additional 34. If you add that onto 173, you get 207. Now, the additional that was not mentioned of the remaining three, that which comes out to three-fifths, again, they weren't precise, because even from the original Cheshbon, really, you're really missing a fifth. And if you take out from these three a fifth, you're really only left with, you don't even have a half of a bay, because you only have two-fifths of an egg. Therefore, that wasn't mentioned. So therefore, what you do have is, yeah, and even if you would mention it, again, it still wouldn't be 217. So all you have is 207. So what, again, was this saw? You don't have it in either of the three phases of what the measurements of a saw were. And therefore, what was this 217? So the Gemara says, Lo'olam d'tziparis. Really, we were talking about the tzipari saw, and we found 217 eggs in there. How is that possible? We just explained that it comes up to really 207 eggs. It's because I see chalta. If you bring the shear of challah that's necessary to take off from a dough, shadi alayu, and you add it on, you'll see that that will become the total of what's necessary here to make it the 217. And that is because this sod that was brought in from the Rebbe, it was the sotzipari with the challah that was necessary to take it off. Meaning once, in other words, when you took away the challah, then it would be the shear tzipari. Now, what is the shear of challah? That's 1/24 of the amount that you have. As the Gemara says in Perek Chalayin, I'm Pei Alf, I'm an Alf. So the Gemara asks, Chal Sikama Havin. Wait a second. I don't understand how you get it to 217. How much is Chal? Tamni, it's 8 eggs, because 1/24 of 192. Again, we're not being precise here, because although the number is really 207, and we're not being precise with these extra 15 eggs, because that comes out to, let's say, just around a half an egg. So therefore, we want to give a complete number. So it comes out to 8. If you take, again, 1/24 of roughly 207, which really is of 192, you get an extra 8 eggs. Akati batzule, so the Gemara asks, you're still missing, you still didn't make it to the right amount of 217, because you have the 207 of the sotziparis. With an additional, we said that with the challah that you're going to take off, then you're going to be left with the sotzipari, that's 8 eggs. 207 plus 8 is 215. And even if it's a little bit more, again, it still doesn't make it to the 217. So what was this saw that Rebbe had that he had measured and he found 217? So rather, the Gemara says, Eli, the pshat is like this. I see v'oidais de Rebbe. We had mentioned before that Rebbe had said that a saw is really going to be not exactly 144 eggs, even on the original measurement. It's going to be a little bit more. For every egg, you have to add a 20th of an egg. Shadi alayu, and you add that on that. In other words, forget about the challah. We're not talking about that. As we had said that pshat with the challah. Rather, if you take 1/20th for every egg and you add it on, so it comes out for the 200, you're going to get 10 eggs. So now, if you take 207 plus this 10, that's again because you have to take a 20th for every egg, that comes out to 217, and that's where you get the total of, although it's a sotziparis, which is really 207, you have to add a 20th for every egg, that's going to come out to 217. But then the Gemara says, wait, ihachi, if it's just like we just explained, that you have to add a 20th for every egg, havilei tvei, it's more than 217. Because if you add all the v'oidos of Rebbe, all the 1/20th for every egg, now there's, we only said this 1/20th of an egg for 200 eggs. There was 207, so there's 7 that we didn't count. And there's also the 2/5 that we had discounted and not calculated before that we weren't particular about. And therefore, that's going to come out then more than 217. That the Gemara says, Kibin de lahava kebeya, since that doesn't total even a beya, even one egg, lechashavle, we did not consider, we did not calculate. And therefore, that was what the saw kundis was that Rebbe had mentioned, that was 217, again being really the sotziparis, which is 207 as we had calculated before. And although this was 217, it's because Rebbe, as we had said before, had found that really you have to add on a 1/20th to every egg, which comes out to 217. And although really it's a little bit more because of that extra 7 and that 2/5 that we didn't mention, since it's not really an egg, we didn't count that. And that's why we had assessed it and measured and considered as 217. Now the Gemara brings a braisa that explains what we had been mentioning up until now, that there were three phases in the measurements of the saw and all the different measurements related to it. Tanya Rabbanan, learn the braisa. Saw Yerushalmis, the saw that was in Jerusalem, Yisera al Midbarishtus, that was it was a sixth more, as we had said, that means a sixth of the total, which is, if you take the total, if you have the original, let's say, five-fifths, and you add on another fifth, which makes it a six-fifths, that means it's a fifth more, and that means it's a sixth of the total, which is a fifth of the original, that the saw of Jerusalem was a fifth more than the saw of what was in the desert. The Shel Tzipporis, and in Tzipori, then they made the measurements even bigger. Yisera al Yerushalmis, thus it was added on to the Yerushalmis, and in other words, if you take a sixth of the total of the Yerushalmi measurement, that total comes out to a fifth of the a fifth more of the Yerushalmis is going to be a fifth of the if you take a fifth of the Yerushalmis and you add it on, that's going to be the total of the Sotzipiris. So therefore, the Braisa concludes and says this statement, which the Gemara is going to struggle to explain, Nimtzis shel Tzipiris. It comes out that the saw of the Tzipiri, Yisera al Midbaris shlish, comes out that it's more than the Midbar saw, a third. Now the Gemara wants to understand, a shlish deman, which measurement are you using to explain that the saw of Tzipori is a third more? And as we explained before, we said that the saw in the Midbar was 144. And then we went on and said that since they added on another fifth for that saw in Jerusalem, it came out that was 173. And then we said that the saw of Tzipori was 207. And we said it came out to 217 because of the extra tenth, but those were the measurements. Now we're saying that you want to know that it's interesting that the saw Tzipori is going to be a third, it's going to have a third more than the saw of the Midbar. So the Gemara says, how do you work that? How is that possible? Elim shlish the Midbar is, if you're saying a third of, if you take a third of the saw of the, that's it, was in the desert, and you add, you're going to find that that's going to be what is more by the Tzipori than by the Midbar one. So Mechti, let's see this. Shlish the Midbar is kamahava. What is a third of the saw of the desert of the times of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's our Arboin V'tmanya. That comes out to 48, because if you take 144 divided by 3, you come to 48. V'ilu Aitfa, whereas we find that the Tzipori measurement is more than the Midbar measurement, Shitin V'tlas, 63. Because as we had mentioned before, that the saw of Tzipori is 207, and therefore if you take 207 minus 144, it's going to come out to 63, not 48. So it can't be that we're saying that the saw of Tzipori is a third more if you take the saw Midbari. So rather, ve'elo shlish du Yerushalmis, rather we mean to say if you take a third of the Jerusalem saw and you add, you're going to find that that's how much more the Tzipori is over the Midbari. But that's also difficult. Because shlish du kama haba, what is a third of the Jerusalem saw? That's chamshin v'temanya nechitilsa. That's 58 minus a third, which basically means 57 and two-thirds. And that is because we had said before that the saw Yerushalayim was 173. You divide that by 3, and you're going to find that it's a third is 57 and two-thirds. V'ilu aitfa shitin mitlas, whereas we find that the additional, that how much more Tzipori is over the Midbari is 63. Again, 57 and two-thirds doesn't make it. So rather, v'ilu de Tzipori. We meant that if you take a third of the Tzipori's own saw, you're going to find that's how much more it is than the saw which was in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. But shlish didar kamahava, what is a third of the Tzipori saw? That's shivin nichichada, that's 70 minus 1, which means 69. Now that's also difficult. Vilo oitva samach gimel. The saw Tzipori is only 63 more than the Midbari. So how can you say that it would be a third of its own, which is 69? So which third are we saying that it's a third more? It can't be of the Midbari, it can't be of the Yerushalmi, and it can't be of the Tzipori. So which third is it more than the Midbari? So Elam Abiyim Yirim says, what the Braisa meant to say, you're right, it's not exact. Nitzis Shah Shal Tzipori, it comes out that the saw of the Tzipori is Yisayir Al Midbar, it's more than the Midbar saw, Karev Lishlish Shalah, close to its own third. In other words, if you take a third of the saw Tzipori, it comes out to 69. And how much more is it than the Midbari? 63. So it's very close. It's interesting. It was saying that if you're going to find, it's going to be close to a third. And then parenthetically, he says that Vishlishala, and what also comes out interesting is that a third of the Satsipar, again, which is 69, is Karv Lamechtzid Midbaris. It's close to half of the desert of the Samid Bari, because we said the Samid Bari is 144. If you take half of that, it's 72, and this is a third of the Tzipari is 69. So that's what he says the Brayz was trying to say. That's just interesting to know, to remember that a third of the own Tzipari is going to be that much more, at least close, of what it's more than the Midbari, because that's 69 and that's 63. And also that its third is close to half of the Midbari, because its third is 69 and the Midbari half is 72, again, very close. But then the Gemara says, Maskel Ravina, Ravina asked on that interpretation. I don't understand. Midi karv karv katani? Does it say in the Braisa that it's close? It doesn't say that it's close. It doesn't work out. It's not 69 is not 63. And therefore, how can you say that it's close by when it doesn't say that? Elam Ravin Ravina says a different shot. Hochkam. This is what the Braisa meant to say. Nimtzis shalish shal tzipari. It comes out that the third of the tzipari saw, which this is the terminology of nimtzis shal tzipari, it comes out that the tzipiris, which means to say, it comes out that the third of the tzipari saw, Bivaidiyah shall Rabbi, together with the Va'idias of Rabbi, which is that if you assess it with the Va'idis, that Rabbi had found that every egg is really has to add on another 20th, it comes out that, as he had said before, the Sotzipari is really 217. It comes out that a third of the 217 is 72 and third of an egg. Therefore it comes out that Yisera Al-Mechtes Shamadbaras, that it comes out more than the half of the Midbari. That's what it means when it says Yiseir al Midbaris. It means more than the half of the Midbaris, which we had said is 72. Shlish Beya. It comes out that it's more than a third of an egg. That's what it meant when it said Shlish. Therefore, how is that possible? Because again, half of the Midbaris is 72. 72 is less than 72 and a third by a third of an egg, then a shlish. Because if you take 72 and a third times 3, that comes out to 217, which is the share of the saw, Tziparis. So again, that was what the statement meant. It meant, if you take the terminology that it said, that nimtzis shal tzipiris, that it comes out that the tzipiris, which means the third of the tzipiri, is yisera amidbaris, is more than the midbaris, meaning half of the midbaris, shlish, a third, third of an egg. So a totally different interpretation that we had assumed up until now. It wasn't saying that the total is going to be more than it by a third. It's saying something totally different. It's saying that its third is going to be more than the Midbari half. Again, because you're taking the total of the Va'idis of Rebbe of 217 divided by 3, which comes out to 72 and a third. It's going to be more than half of the Midbari by a shlish than by a third, because that's 72 and that's 72 and a third. Now the Gemara continues with a different braisa. So again, continuing on this theme of shiurim, of measurements that we had been speaking about. So Tanan Banan, we learn the braisa. Says a pasuk in Bamidbar, Reishis Arisai Seichem, the first of your dough. And that's the pasuk over there in Bamidbar, Tezvav, pasuk Chav says that the first of your dough, Chala Terima Truma, you should take off and separate as Chala. Ketrumas Garin, just like you take off Truma from the threshing house, which is regular Truma, which you give to the Kohen, Kain Terima Isa, so too you take off Truma of the Chala. That's also one of the Matnas Kahuna that you have to take off. So now the Gemara on Amud Beis gives an interpretation. It says in the pasuk, Arisai Seichem, your dough. Which means to say that if you want to know the measurement of this challah, it's kedei isoy seichem. It's the amount of your dough. Now, v'kama isoy seichem. How much was your dough that you have to that they had in the midbar? In other words, and essentially they're asking what was the measurement of the mun, which is what people ate, which is going to be this new shear of challah that you have to give to the kohen. It's kedei isoy hamidbar, like the dough of the midbar. V'kama isoy hamidbar. How much is the dough of the midbar? Tichsiv, like it says a pasuk in Shemais. The ha'omer, and the omer, which was that it says in the pasuk omer la'galgalis, that every person got for their share of the mon was an omer. That is asiris ha'efahu, that is the tenth of an efah. Now again, based on the askalav guda that we had mentioned, how much is an efah? An efah is 3 sa. As the Gemara Menachos learns in Perek Atayid and Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Mem Hey, it says ha'efah v'habas toichen echad yeh. It says that the efah and the bas had the same measurement. Now it says over there that meiser habas min hakur, that a tenth of the kur is the bas. That's the bas is going to be a tenth of the kur. That's its meiser. Now how much is a kur? A kur is 30 saw. Its tenth, how much is that? That's 3 saw. That's the shear of the efah. It comes out that the omer, which is the tenth of the efah, is going to be the tenth of 3 saw, because again, every efah is 3 saw, which is 18 kavan, which are 72 log. Now, if you want to measure with the 72 log, if you take a tenth of 70, you come out with 7. If you take a tenth of the 2 log, and you come out with fifth of a log, which that is a beya and a fifth. And that is what The Gemara says, Mikan Amr, from here is what they said. You want to know what the share of challah is? That Zayin Revoyim, 7 quarters, which is quarters of a kav, which is another term for a log, 7 quarters of kemach va'oid, of flour, and a little bit more. Again, revoyim is quarters of kav, which is 7 logan, and the be'oid and the more is an egg and a fifth, as we had just explained, which comes out to a total of 43 1/5 eggs. That is the shear that's chayev v'chala, which is chayev in the shear of chala, which shehein vav shoyl yishalm. Is then when the measurements got bigger, comes out that instead of being 7 oid and a fraction, it comes out that it was 6 lugan of the Jerusalem measurement of lugan, because if you go with the calculations we had explained till now that it's a fifth bigger, it comes out that the 6, if you're taking these 7 1/5 of the midbar measurements, if you take this 6 become 5 Yerushalmis, which comes out that you're left with then 1 lug midbari and a fifth, because if you take 7 1/5, it comes out to 6. That comes out that a beya and a fifth, as we had mentioned, because a bay and a fifth is the fifth of a lug. So that becomes the lug Yerushalmi, because if you take 1 1/5, that's essentially taking 6/5. 6/5 become 5/5, because as we said, that's the total. It's a sixth from the total, which is a fifth from the original. So you take that 6/5, that 1 1/5, that becomes 1 lug Yerushalmi. So you take that plus the 5, plus the 1, that comes out to 6 lugan Yerushalmis. Shehein hei shal tzipar, which comes out to 5 lugan of the tzipar, again, because you do that same cheshbon one more time of the lug tzipar is 1/5 bigger, that comes out from 6 to 5. And now the Braisa concludes, misayim mikan amr, from here they said, ha'oichel kamidazu, whoever eats like this measurement, which is the shear of challah, harei zabari, he's someone that's healthy because he eats whatever he needs. That was the shear of the man. Hashem gave them exactly what they needed, not too little, not too much. So therefore, you're healthy if you eat the shear of challah. Umevarch, and you're blessed, because you're not eating more than you have to, as the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Gimel says, Ubetin Rishom Texa, that the stomach of the wicked is going to be lacking. Yes, Rakim, but if you eat more than the shear of challah, Ravsin, you're considered glutton. Pachas Mekan Mekul Kebemeh, but eat less than the shear of challah, then you're lacking in your stomach, then you're going to be having a problem of eating too little, and therefore it's a very important, just like that, we know the shear now, which is the shear of challah, which was the shear of the month, that was Kedaris Sesechem, that was how much their dough was, that's how much each person ate, that's a proper amount of food to be eating. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, discussing the halachas of Erev, specifically regarding when there's a certain area between two different competing rishuyas in the same domain. As the Mishnah begins, Anshi Chatzar v'Anshi Mapesed. If you have people in the courtyard and you have people in what's called the gallery, and that is this Mapesed was very long, and there were many openings of the second story that are open to this, like let's say this large balcony, this large porch, and they all come out with one ladder to the courtyard, and from there they go out into the Rishus Haram. So again, if you have this one big chatzar and you have people on the ground floor, they're called the Anshi Chatzar because their opening goes right into the courtyard. Then you have a second story that's built on that, and it's like almost like, let's say, half of the roof is the second story, and then the one part of the roof is called this marpeset. It's like this gallery that's like this porch. They come out first to the porch, to this marpeset, and then with a ladder they come down to the chatzar. So you have these two types of people over here, sheshachu b'le'irvu, that they forgot and they didn't join together. In other words, the people from the chatzar did not join, in other words, the people from the first story, basically, did not join with the people from the marpeset, from the second story, but they each made their own separate erev. So in spite of the fact that they did not join together, they do not make it forbidden one on the other to carry in their own specific domains. And the reason being is, since the marpeset, the second story, is more than 10 tefachim from the chatzar, from the ground floor, because the idea of, although they're connected with the ladder, that's only a leniency. As we had said previously, that it has halacha of mechitza to it, this ladder, as a separation, and therefore they don't invalidate one or the other. As the Gemara says, a kitzin ma'abrin on daf nun tes mebeis, that a ladder has a halachic status as a pesach, as an opening, so it is a leniency of considering them connected, but it also has a status of mechitza, and that we still consider them separately, and we take both views, lehakel, as a leniency. So therefore, but ultimately, although they're not going to make a forbidden one the other, the people in the marpeset could carry there together, and the people in the chatzar could carry there together, but they're still considered two separate domains, and therefore each one cannot carry into the other's domain. People from the marpeset cannot carry into the chatzar, and the people from the chatzar cannot carry onto the marpeset. So they've forgotten they didn't join together. So they're considered separately. Now this is what we're discussing. Kol shegavayu yudfachim. whatever is higher than 10 tefachim in the courtyard, and that is, let's say in the courtyard there's a mound or a pillar that's 10 tefachim high nearby to the mapesa, near the roof, the first roof, in other words, near this gallery, near this this porch that's there on the first part of the roof. So then, lemar peset, then the right of way that's given, who can carry it? It goes to the mapesed, the rishus of those people have domain over that, and they can utilize it and carry over there, but not the people of the chatzar. Pachis mikam, but if it's lower than 10 tefachim, then lo chatzar, then we say that it goes to the domain of the chatzar, they could use it, and they could carry to it, but not the people from the mapesed. For, as an example, the Mishnah explains, chulyas habar, the embankment of a pit, that is, that's the earth that's dug out when you dig a pit, and then you surround that earth around the opening of the pit. If you have that, the hasela and the rock, gevoy master tefachim, if it's 10 tefachim high, lemar peset, then we say that goes, again, to the porch, to the gallery, to the people that are on the second story. Pachis mekan, less than that, it goes lochatzer, it goes to people from the courtyard. However, now the Mishnah qualifies, when did we say this? That is bismucha. That's when this chulya, this embankment, or the rock is nearby to the marpeset. Then we'll say that if it's 10 tefachim, it's going to go to the marpeset. But it's far away from this, from let's say, from the house, that it's therefore it's not close to the marpeset. Then even if it's 10 tefachim high, lachatzer goes to the people of the courtyard from the ground floor, not from the second story. Now, what is considered close by to say that if it's 10 tefachim, it's going to go to the people of marpeset? Whatever is not 4 tefachim away, then if it's 10 tefachim high, then it will go to the people of marpeset. But if it's more than 4 tefachim away, then it will not go into the people of marpeset. Rather, it will go to the people of the chatzar, even if it's 10 tefachim high. Now the Gemara goes and explains many different cases related to this topic that we're speaking about in our Mishnah regarding when you have an area that's nearby to two different areas, whose domain is it considered? And what is the halachic status regarding both of them using it, or maybe because they both could use it or cannot use it, they're both forbidden about using it. Now our Gemara begins. Pshita, it's pretty obvious to us. Lezebe Pesach, or Lezebe Pesach. And that is, if each one has what's considered an easy use of way to this area, as like an opening, a portal to it. For example, if you have two courtyards that did not make an ave together, and you have one rishus, one domain that's near to both of them, which is easy for both of them to use, like an opening, which is easy to go into it, then it's the same as the case of a window that's between two different courtyards. In other words, we're not going to have a question about when there's a Pesach Lezeh and a Pesach Lezeh, what is the halacha, if it's going to be forbidden to both of them or permitted to both of them, because in the essence, that's the same as the case when you have a window between two different courtyards, which we learned regarding the halacha, that if they want, when you have an opening, but you have a wall separating these two chatzeres, but there is an opening, that if they want, they can make one area, if they want, they can make two different areas. Now, if they do not join together in one area, then we say that they're both forbidden to utilize that area if it's going to be for an area of 4 tefachim, because any area is not considered an area if it's less than 4 tefachim. If it's less than 4 tefachim, it's a makom ptur. But if it is 4 tefachim, then they both cannot use it. And how do we know that it's usur regarding when there's a window opening between the two of them? Because that's the same as a wall between two different courtyards, which we learned in the Mishnah on the Ayin Vavim Abayis, that if on top of this wall between two courtyards, there were payers, there were produce, then we said that they could go up and eat on the wall, and they can go up and eat on the wall. But we said as long as they don't go ahead and take it down from the wall. So we see that where it's equal to both of them, they make it forbidden one on the other. Now the same thing goes for an area that's lower than 10 tefachim, that we say if it doesn't have 4x4, then we say that's permitted for the people from Rishus Yachad and the people of Rishus Ram, Likasabalam, to go ahead and adjust their bundles in there because that's a makam tur. That's an exempt area, anything that's less than 4 tefachim. But the inference is if it has 4 tefachim, then it's forbidden for both of them. And therefore, regarding the case of Lezebe Pesach, when they both have an easy right of way for this area, they're both going to be usher because that's the same as a window between the two of them, a wall between the two of them, when they have the same status and they did not join the area together, they're both forbidden to utilize that area. Another case, the Gemara says, it's also obvious to us, lezeb is rika, when for one of them it requires throwing. And that is, regarding throwing, it always means to say that it's higher than 10 tefachim from where you are. Similarly, when the Gemara later on will use the terminology of shulshul, of lowering, it means that it's deeper than 10 tefachim from where you are. Now, whenever it's a convenient usage, it uses the terminology of pesach, an opening. And that means that the ground is not higher or lower than you from 10 tefachim, that's considered as if it's ground level to you, because nothing is exactly perfect. So as long as it's not higher or lower than your 10 tefachim, that's considered Pesach. So therefore, on this case, the Gemara says, Lezebezrika, when for this one requires throwing. Ulezebezrika, and for this one it also requires throwing. And that is, any rishus, any domain that's between two different domains, and it's difficult for both of them, its utility, because for this one, it's 10 tefachim high, and for this one, it's 10 tefachim high, and therefore, they both can only use it by throwing. That's not a question for us either, because that's the same. That is the case which we had, just as a side mentioned before, as the case of a wall between two different courtyards, and that is there, that Isser is explicit in the Mishnah that says, as long as you don't take it lower down. So therefore, you see that it's going to be forbidden for both of them, because it's considered that they both have the same equal amount of utility to it, which is hard for both of them. And therefore we say, since they did not join in the Erev together, they both cannot use that area. A third case the Gemara brings is, lezebishulshul ulezebishulshul. Let's say for both of them, you need to use it, only this common area is below both of them, more than 10 tefachim below, so therefore they both need lowering to use that area. That's also obvious to us, because Hainu Charitz Shebein Beis Chatzeres, that's the same as the case of a ditch between two different courtyards, where that's also Osa for both of them. Because here you have a separation with a Chashav Rishus, which separates the two of them, and since for both of them, its utility, its usage is the same, so therefore it's going to be Osir. As Rav said on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, that a Charitz, a ditch between two different courtyards, that's deeper than this one, 10 tefachim, but for this one, it's equal to it, then you give it to the one that we said that it's equal to it. Because for this one, it's considered tashmish benachas, it's easier for him to use this area. For this one that he has to, he's 10 tefachim higher, it's lezeh bekasha, it's hard for him. The inference is, but if for both of them it's benachas, it's easy to use, or for both of them it's hard, which is our case that we're talking about, they're both going to be aser. And therefore, since for both of them you need to have shulshul over here, that's also obvious to us that that's going to be aser, because they're both tashmish and bekasha. A fourth case the Gemara mentions, lezeh bepesach ulezeh bezrika. If for one of them he has easy use of way, for one of them he has to throw it. For example, let's say this courtyard is lower and this courtyard is higher, and now you have a mound between the two of them that's higher than this one, 10 tefachim, and therefore since this mound is coming up from this lower courtyard, the top of the mound is even to the other courtyard. So again, one of them to use the top has to throw it, and the other one could just easily use it because it's right by him. So that's also obvious to us. Hainu d'Rabbi Barav Huna Amar Rav Nachman. That's the case where he says in Perek Chaloyin over there in the sugya we just mentioned, that he says regarding a wall that's between two different courtyards, it's 10 tefachim high, and one side of it is equal to the ground next to it, we give it to the one that it's equal to the one over there, that's called the one of the Pesach. So therefore, if one of them is Bepesach, one is Bezrika, we give it to the one of Pesach. Again, always considering this idea that we give it to the one that's easier usage for him. And up until now, as we see, if they're both the same, whether in easy or in difficulty, then they're both going to be forbidden. The fifth case the Gemara brings is, lezeh bepesach ulezeh beshulshul. Let's say for one of them is convenient usage, and the other one only by lowering it. For example, if let's say you have a courtyard that's higher than the mound, 10 tefachim. Now, and he only uses it during the weekday by lowering it down, because it's 10 tefachim below him. But the other courtyard is basically equal to that mound. Then that's also obvious to us, Hainad Rav Shizvi Amar Rav Nachman, that he says in Perek Chaloyin, that who do you give it to? As we had mentioned the same principle before, you give it to the one of the Pesach, the one that has easy usage, but the one that can only use it by lowering it, that it's more than 10 tefachim below him, he doesn't have the rights of way, and therefore he cannot carry that the other is just good. However, now the Gemara brings the sixth case, which is not so obvious to us. Let's say one of them requires lowering because it's more than 10 tefachim below him, and the other one requires throwing because it's more than 10 tefachim above him. For example, if let's say you have this courtyard that it's higher than the mound 10 tefachim, and you have this courtyard that's below the mound 10 tefachim, then the question is, what is the halacha? Do we say that for both of them that it's hard for them to use, and therefore they're considered equal? And therefore, as we had said up until now, when they're both equally hard, they make it forbidden one on the other. Because, as we had said, that shulshul, lowering down more than 10 tefachim below you, is also considered kasha, tashmish, makasha, it's hard utility, it's not convenient. Or do we say that although shulshul is considered hard, but in regard to throwing, lowering is easier. It's considered touch mishu benachas in regards to throwing. Throwing is much harder than lowering, and therefore it's going to be mutter for the one of shulshul, of lowering. And the one of throwing is going to be aser. And that is again talking about that if they did not make an air one with the other, rather each one made their own air. Or do we say that no, since they're both hard, that they're both going to be aser? And then we have machlekes. Amar Rav. Rav says, shneim asrim, they're both going to be forbidden. Again, because both of them are hard. Oh, it's maybe a little bit different, but they're both hard, and therefore the throwing one, which is hard to throw up 10 tefachim, and the one that has to lower 10 tefachim, they're both going to be aser. Shmuel Amar, and however Shmuel says, no, we give the rights of way to the one that he uses it by lowering. And the reason being, for the one of lowering, it's considered, at least in regards, in correlation to the one of throwing, it's considered a more convenient usage. And the one of throwing is considered hard, inconvenient utility. Whenever you have something, and this is the principle that we were basing a lot of halachas on up until now, that when you have something that the usage is hard for one and easier for the other one, we give it to the one that has easier utility, and therefore, since shulshul is easier than the one of throwing, he's the one that gets the rights of way, and he can use it for Shabbos, and it's not that they're both aser, it's only the one of zarek is aser, but the one of shulshul is going to be mutar.